Well, good morning, Harvest family. We're going to look, so looking forward to the services this morning and the rest of God to be a help and a blessing to us. We'll also be serving the Lord's Supper this evening, and that is for saved, baptized believers and members of Harvest Baptist Church. We'll talk more about that this evening. And you bear with me. I think I've got it working, but I want to ask Brother Bob Stone, he's sitting in the foyer this morning, to open us in prayer. Brother Bob, will you ask God's blessings upon our service, please?
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the wonderful time that you allow us to be here this morning. We thank you for your guidance, your protection. And Father, most of all, we just look forward to the things that we can do to help other people to come to know you as Lord and Jesus of their life. And we thank you for that. Thank you for this time about today. And just be with everybody and protect them and guide them and bring them all safely. And that we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. I stood on the bank of a wide-ranging river, trusting that I get across.
Take a moment to greet those around you as the choir comes down.
some days it just can't get here soon enough. Amen. Won't be long. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to give me your tithes and offerings. The Lord has been so good to us here at Harvest. Brother Mike Chair, will you please ask God's blessings on our tithes and offering?
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you that we can turn around and give back to you some of what you have given to us. Lord, and I pray you lay it upon our hearts to help this ministry, to do more, to give to you, that we might see souls saved and your kingdom put forward, Lord. I pray you would be with this service today now. Be with Pastor, fill him with your power and your spirit. Help him touch the hearts of the people that are here. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen.
You join us as we go to prayer and asking God's blessings not only on our service, but of course the men and leadership of our church as well as our families, that the Lord Jesus will be uplifted and glorified, not just in our services each and every week, but in our lives independently as we go through our work week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings. Father, as we come before thy throne, I just want to thank you so much, Lord, for the men who are gathered here today, Father, those who are visiting with us, and Lord, especially our harvest men, Lord, who's such a blessing and source of encouragement to their pastor. Pray that you bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, Father, put a hedge about them, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, help them to be the men that you'd have them to be, the leaders not only at home, but Lord, also here in our church as well as in our community. Father, that you'd use them to mentor, to encourage, and those that are still young in the Lord, that you would continue to challenge them to learn and to glean from the scriptures and learn from others. They might help others as they grow. Father, I thank you for the men and families who are visiting with us this morning. We pray your blessings upon them. Help each and every one of us to put away the cares and concerns of the world as we prepare for the preaching and teaching of God's word here in a few moments, Father, that you'd be uplifted and glorified. And then, Father, we thank you for our ladies at Harvest. Lord, what a blessing. And we'll be talking about some of the ladies in scriptures this morning in our next section of pastor. Lord, what a blessing it is to have godly women here that love their pastor and his family, Lord, who love the leadership and the men of our church, who love one another and set such a good, godly example of compassion and encouragement and suffering, Lord. I pray that you would bless them, use them to continue to be that source of encouragement. Father, I pray that you be with the young people, the children of our church, be with the Cherry family as they're out working and teaching with the children this morning, Father, that they continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for those across our
auditorium that are involved in ministry, from leading of the music, the choir, singing the choir, the special music, the teaching of classrooms, the ushering, Lord, and those greeting at the door, and those that are just here and come here early, who dwell a little longer, just to be a source of blessing and encouragement to those around them. And now, Father, bless our guest. I pray that you'd help them, encourage them. I pray they've received a warm welcome. They would be challenged, encouraged by the word of God, and will honestly say it was good to be in the house of the Lord and at harvest today when they depart. And now, Father, again, we ask your blessings on thy word, the preaching, and may everything that's said and done bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Have your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter 23, so we can look at the tomb of Jesus, Luke chapter 23. I know last week we looked about 20, 25 verses. Several people after the service said, "Preacher, I didn't think you were going to get it all in." Well, there's only six verses, but I think I've got just as much notes today as I did last week. After studying a little further, looking a little deeper, there's so much in these six verses I trust to be a blessing to you. So let's look at them together before our special music comes. Luke chapter 23, and we'll begin reading in verse number 50. "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He was of the Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man was laid before. Wherein never man before was laid. And that day was a preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared the spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment."
As the evening sun set o'er Jerusalem, Satan's forces celebrated victory, but their laughter turned to fear, their celebration turned to fright. After what Satan saw in the morning light, he saw angels robed in white, the stone rolled away, grave clothes neatly folded in the place where Jesus lay. Satan knew it was all over. He had lost the fight after what he saw in the morning light. Her eyes were swollen from tears she cried. She wondered if her broken heart would ever mend. But as she looked into the tomb, hope came into sight. After what Mary saw in the morning light, she saw angels robed in white, the stone rolled away, grave clothes neatly folded. place where Jesus lay. She knew it was all over. Everything would be all right when she saw that empty tomb in the morning light. And someday it will be all over. Everything will be all right. Hear that shout ringing out. Graves burst open wide, and we see Jesus face to face in the morning light.
Don't be discouraged. Don't be worried about where we left off with Jesus on the cross last week and as we go forward today, because we know what takes place here in the coming days, and we look forward to preaching that Resurrection Sunday service next week. So look in our Bible here this morning, the tomb of Jesus, Luke chapter 20. And let's remember now, the death of Jesus was followed by his burial from a borrowed tomb. And if you'll look with me this morning, number one, the provision of the tomb, the provision of the tomb. You see, not having a tomb of his own to be buried, Jesus was dependent upon others to provide the need. And I am so glad that somebody was willing, some men were willing to step up and do what was necessary. And we will look at a closer look in this passage. Notice Joseph's character of Joseph of Arimathea in verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. Dear friends, to be both good and just is a rare combination. I think you would agree that it's much easier to be kind than it is to be just or equitable or fair or forbearing. Joseph of Arimathea was both. See, Joseph had a good name. And Saul, what does Solomon say about a good name in Proverbs 22 and verse 1? He said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and a loving favor rather than silver and gold. Dear friends, what do people think when they hear your name? We should do our very best to have a good name for Christ and for your family. I can remember as a boy growing up, my dad telling me, I've got enough brothers that could be scoundrels, but in my household, the last name Cook means something. And boys, you better wear it good. You better wear it right. You better be honest and open and fair and godly in your actions, because your name is tied to my name and we are in a household of believers. Dear friends, Joseph of Arimathea was a counselor as well and a member of the Sanhedrin. He was highly ranked in the Jewish religious hierarchy. He was known, a respected man and known in the Jewish circles. In verse 51, it says more about him. It says the same had not consented the counsel indeed of them, referring to what took place with Jesus. You see, Joseph did not agree with the ruling body of the Jews that Jesus should die. It's very well possible that he refused to have a part of the trial and did not even attend those things that took place. In the latter part of verse 51, it says he waited for the kingdom of God. This verse also shows something about him. This showed his faith in the scriptures. Joseph believed the scriptures over his peers. It made no difference his position and what everyone thought of religious rulers. He believed the scriptures over them. The provision of the tomb coming from this wonderful man. In verse number 2, we see the petition for the body of Jesus. The disciples who have been open about their faith in Christ are now hiding. But two men, and the other passage of Scripture tells us it was Nicodemus, but two men who had been hiding come out of the open and profess their support for the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that Joseph went to Pilate. And it says here, this man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 15, it states that Joseph went in boldly into Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He just didn't go and beg. He pretty much went in and craved with great demand and begging, encouraging for the body of our Savior. The man who helped Joseph, I mentioned, was Nicodemus, according to John chapter 19. This took great boldness because of who Pilate was. We talked a little bit about this week. But remember, though he had been timid and fearful of the things that had taken place up to this time, now he was bold as a lion. By requesting the body of Jesus, Joseph and Nicodemus were taking a big risk. They were openly siding with the Lord who had just been wrongly convicted. Oh, how we need men who will openly side with Jesus today. Amen. Need more men who are willing to rise up. And I'm so grateful for the men of Harvest who are willing to not only rally around their pastor, but around their church and labor what they can do and praying and telling others, inviting others into church and to Christ himself. Dear friends, this was very important because these men could have faced resentment from Pilate and the hatred of the Jews' council just by approaching Pilate. They could have been kicked out of the Sanhedrin, the synagogues, and Jewish society, but yet they dropped or displayed what had taken place before. Though others went into hiding, they stepped forward and pleaded for the body of our Lord Jesus. Dear friends, remember, Rome oversaw the execution. And only Pilate could release the body of Jesus, and only after he was verified that he had been dead. Otherwise, Joseph and others could have just been accused of conspiracy by trying to remove Jesus from the cross before he had died. Number three, not only the provision and the petition, but notice the possession once they received the body in Luke chapter 23 and verse 53. And he says, and he took it down, referring to the body of Jesus. Pilate granted Joseph, we said, this permission. The Roman soldiers would not lift a finger to assist Joseph in any way. The body was not in good shape. Remember, there was the beatings. There was a spear in the side by the Roman soldier. There was a piercing of his side, as I mentioned, the crucifixion. All of these things played a big toll on the body of Jesus. And dear friends, gory doesn't even begin to describe what our Savior looked like or what he went through. And then it says further in verse 53 that he was wrapped it in linen. See, bodies were not embalmed in those days, so other methods were used to prepare the body for the tomb. They wrapped his body with strips of linen, mixing them with spices with the linen strips to lessen the decaying or the smell of the body, not realizing that he would not need that. This action of boldness and love for Jesus, pay attention to this. What they did here meant that they would not be able to participate in the Passover feast because they had defiled themselves by touching the dead body of the Lord Jesus. They put things in priority. They looked what was most important, what needed to be done in caring for Jesus, which meant they would be left out or they could not be involved or participate or even be in the camp as they cared for the body of Jesus, the possession and the great care. Dear friends, do we take great care in our faith of what we believe and what we practice in the Lord Jesus? Do we take great care of his word? Do we take great care in the sense of all we can do for ourselves and our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, help me to be used of you, taking care to make sure others see Christ in your life. Number four, we see the pureness of the tomb in verse 53b. The Bible says they laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man was laid. That's Sam's water. I don't want to drink after him. You can laugh at that. That would be all right. The tomb where Jesus was laid is like a small cave with shelves on the side where the corpses would be laid. And this tomb had never been used. And by the way, not had it only been ever used, it was temporary place for Jesus because he was not there long. Amen. And as I studied this a little bit further, I got to thinking about it. Our Savior was born a virgin in a virgin womb and buried in a virgin tomb. He was not there very long because the Bible says he rose again, and we'll get to that next week. So we see the pureness of the tomb and the preparation. But number five, the preparation day and the observing of the Passover in verse 54 through 56. It says that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. See, the Sabbath was near, and Joseph probably worked very quickly to get Jesus ready for the tomb. The women who followed Jesus came to finish with spices and ointments. And again, another display of love and devotion, respect, as they anointed his body for the burial a bit later. others were watching Joseph and Nicodemus, and they prepared the body of Jesus and put it in a tomb. And in verse 55, it says, notice the people watching were women. It says, women also which came with him from Galilee. See, these women were loyal followers. They were loyal to Jesus and followed him all the way from Galilee unto Jerusalem. In the latter part of verse 55, it says that they beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. These women were doing more than just observing. They were checking up on these men to see what kind of job they were doing in burying Jesus. In verse 56, it says they returned and prepared spices and ointments. They prepared more spices to take to the tomb to be very sure. These women did not think Joseph and Nicodemus maybe had done a sufficient job in spicing the body of Jesus. Some things never change, man. We still have women checking out our work, don't we? And they had a wonderful and a good thing. But they just wanted to be sure. They knew he was prepared. They knew where he was laid. And after all that took place with the feast, they came back and wanted to make sure that everything was in order. In verse 56, after they returned to prepare spices of the ointment, it says they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. The women were delayed in going to the tomb because of the Sabbath day restriction. They were faithful to abide by the laws of God, even though it would be an inconvenience. By the way, dear friends, obedience to the Lord is not always convenient in life. It's not always easy wearing that crown, wearing that badge, wearing that title, carrying that testimony as a follower of Christ. Problem I have today, and so many people say they were Christians or they were christened when they were little. My big question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you followed the Lord in believers' baptism? Are you actively involved in a local church serving the Lord? Are you a follower of him? Are you a doer of the word? Before we close this morning, and I would like to help those maybe who feel like they have missed opportunities. I think the men who fled after Jesus was crucified, those, even Joseph and here in Nicodemus, who may have been behind the scenes and not there for what take place, they returned and they came back to the scene. But I believe there are some men there that should have been there to the very end. I believe maybe they felt like they've had some blunders, that maybe they made some mistakes. Maybe we should have spoken up more. I don't know, but we know what needed to be carried out was carried out. But let me ask you this morning in reference to this aspect of what took place. Do you feel like you've had missed opportunities or maybe made a few blunders in life? Maybe some blunders in your efforts to serve the Lord. If you'll allow me to make another observation, the concern of the women to care for the body of Jesus happened because they were trying to correct and verify some things or miss opportunities. These men were courageous enough to approach Pilate and retrieve the body of Jesus. And they took a stand for the Lord with the risk of being shunned and slandered by the religious peers. Friends, have you messed up? Have you made some mistakes in the past? Are you overly concerned about you might make some mistakes in the future? And so get right with the Lord now and correct those blunders. Make your life count for Christ. Here, if you allow me to share in closing, and almost as long as the few points that I've shared, but a few steps that can help you turn your life around. You see, the Bible really does provide all the answers that we need. It's like a manual, but is useless unless we read it and follow it. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we're not careful, guys. It's like that map in the back seat, that map in the glove box, when everyone in the car knows you're lost but you. And you just have a hard time opening it up to find out where it is. Oh, I'm sure I can make it after five more rounds of the circle and you finally open it up. See, the manual, I can say that because I've been guilty of that as well. The manual and the map and the guide is only as good as the one that will open it and read it and apply it to their lives. Let me share a few things with you on how to correct the blunders of missed opportunities. These men made some mistakes. I feel they should have been there to the end. These others were really ready to rally around and beg for the body of Jesus. And these two men were there, not sure about the rest, but they were there. And I'm sure, as we know, that others went out and wept and others repented. They made some mistakes. Great men of God, great women of God had made mistakes, got right with God, and God continued to use them in a mighty way. Don't let Satan discourage you because you have a blemish in your history. Number one this morning, notice on how to correct those things. Clear your conscience. Because the devil will use it every chance he gets. Psalm 32 and verse 12 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Go to those you have wronged and ask for forgiveness. If it requires restitution, then take the necessary steps. Acts 24 and verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscious void of offense toward God and toward men. See, unwillingness to get your life right with people indicates a pride problem. It indicates a lack of spiritual maturity. You see, struggles will continue until you clear your conscience. Clear your conscience. Number two, return to the place where you left the will of God. See, don't waste your life and opportunities to serve God because you are know or realize that you're out of the will of God. Right now, brother, our brother's teaching adult Sunday class, Pastor Brother Enoch, through the book of Jonah. And Jonah chapter 3, the first three verses tells us, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, because he didn't listen the first time. He disobeyed, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And because he did not listen the first time, he faced some consequences. God came back to him, spoke to him again, the same command. Jonah responded, and multitudes came to know Christ as their personal Savior. Don't allow a blemish of the past keep you from getting right and moving forward for the Lord. Return to that place where you left the will of God. If you've gotten out of church, get back in. If God has led you to do something and you've stopped doing it, then begin doing it again if God has led you to do it. Number three, not only do we need to clear our conscience and return to the place where God left, where we left the will of God, but submit to the Word of God. Make the Word of God a priority in your life. Read it, study it, and do what it says. You see, a lack of obedience will cause you to miss opportunities. Boy, I can't imagine what would have taken place through the vast examples we have in the Word of God. We've already spoke of Jonah, and they didn't listen even the second time. God uses us in spite of our sin. If we're willing to get back where we need to be, He will use us in a mighty way. Psalm 119 and verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Let's submit ourselves to the word, read it, digest it, and practice it. Number four, be alert to temptation and prepare to serve. Yes, prepare to serve. We should be looking for an opportunity to serve every time we're out in public. Every day that we wake up, but we also need to be aware of temptations. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all the way thy ways be established. Watch your step or steps to be sure your way is godly. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I can't say it loud enough. Don't yield. Don't yield. Put accountability in your life. Put roadblocks there to help you defend you or ward you off from warnings. Say in the word to help you. Put accountability in place to help you. Watch your step. and prepared to serve by studying the Word of God. Being prepared will open doors to share and help others that have problems. Be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Number 5, don't wallow in defeat. Don't have a pity party. Don't sit around saying, woe is me. Don't sulk. In other words, get it together. You know your way from the Lord. Get back where you need to be. If you have fallen down, get back up and move forward. There is forgiveness and restoration in Jesus. I wish more Christians had the backbone of some of these running backs who get hit on the line of scrimmage and keep turning those legs, who just won't give up no matter how many are on their back, no matter how many are pushing. They want to fall forward. We need more Christians willing to carry the load. That we need more Christians willing to say, I'm going to move forward. Defeat's not going to keep me down. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Satan may have won round one, but the battle's not over. I'm getting up. I'm pressing on. I'm going to serve the Lord. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. No, you may have to get up more than 7 times. It's just the culture, the terminology used there. We're to keep getting up. Well, can you imagine every running back in a ball game that got knocked down, they were out for the rest of the game? Boy, they might have to depend on the quarterback to do something other than throw. No, they get up. They get back in the huddle. They get there. They're ready to go. They want to play. And we get down, we get knocked down, we need to get back up and realize that we have an adversary that is much stronger than we are, that's much wiser than we are, so very wicked, wants us to fail, but we serve a Savior who is our in-between, our mediator. He's there to help us, to guide us, and to strengthen us if we go in Jesus' name. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, we ask the Lord to forgive us. He forgives us. He restores. And He wants us back in the battle. But we have to make a decision that I'm not going to allow the circumstances around me. I'm not going to allow fear to have me run into hiding. I'm going to stay in the game. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to move forward. Clear your conscience. Return to the place where you left the will of God. Submit to the Word of God. Be alert to temptations and prepare to serve. Don't wallow in defeat. And then number 6, be cautious about your pride. Oh, man. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Dear friends, pride makes us unteachable, rude, harsh, selfish, and insensitive to the needs of others. Pride hardens our heart toward the ones we hurt the most, and most importantly, toward God, repentance and restoration. Avoid your pride like you would avoid a scorpion or rattlesnake. I might have used different terminology back east, but since I'm in Arizona, I'm going to avoid those things. And why not avoid pride? I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. And as a man, I think we're kind of born a little bit with some pride. We always want to succeed. We want to do well. We want to be the provider. We want to be the best that we can be. But dear friends, let's make sure we do the best that God allows us and equips us to be, and not allow pride to interfere. Well, I remember when I was in Bible college, I'll tell on myself and move to this last one. We're in that class of preacher boys, and I've referred to it a few times in homiletics. It means the art of communication. And we would have to prepare outlines, and we'd have, it's not mock, we'd preach every after we went through some lessons, getting illustrations, doing a lot of sermon preparation. We had to turn in a sermon outline, I think twice a month, that was turned in, plus all of our other academic studies, plus the ministry that we're involved with, and I was preaching every week through Bible college. We had to turn in outlines to be graded by our teacher. And then somewhere along the way, we'd preach just an introduction, and then we'd preach just a portion of the body. We were timed, and then we were graded by our peers. From the time you got out of your seat and walked to the platform, you're preaching and going back to your seat, you were graded as soon as you stand up. We had a list of things to check off as peers in the class, grading the one that was teaching. Boy, I'm so glad I didn't go first, But there's times I wish I had gone first. Back in those days, I was so nervous. You think I talk fast now? Boy, you should have heard me preach in the early days. Man, that was done. I was nervous. Wanted to dress right. I wanted to look good. I mean, I wanted to make sure my hair was cut. I wanted to get all the points I could get before I opened my mouth. Because we are graded on everything. And I tell you, I can't help but to think sometimes that pride might have gotten my way as I sat there and I saw these young men come up. Some my age, some a little younger, some a little older. Boy, had nice suits and a good, I mean, they looked like they belonged on the cover of a magazine. These guys, some of these guys were good looking. Man, they some of them could even sing, and they were eloquent speakers. And I thought to myself, Lord, with all these guys out here preparing for the ministry, how am I going to do? I'm nervous. I stutter a little bit. And when I was younger, I even studied more when I was a kid. I had difficulties, and I thought, man, I was just nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. But somewhere along the way, God taught me, said, just be you. Every time I'd turn in an outline and get graded, I'd always have good marks on my outlines and my verses of scripture and the support of scripture. But then every time I preached, it would be comments like, slow down. Slow down. Get out of your comfort zone, Brother Doug, because I was like this the whole time, whether it's 5 minutes or 15. I was just holding on and shaking the podium. I was scared to death. Get out of your comfort zone. And somewhere along the way through the years, I think God has helped me. I think I've gotten out of my comfort zone. I think I've gotten away from the stuttering. I'm still nervous because it's an awesome responsibility. But that battle of pride, gentlemen, ladies, that battle of pride and looking at others as being better and being envious. Let God use you how you are and for who you are. I got to the point, I still put little notes on my outline once in a while to remind me to take a break, breathe, and slow down. I was so bound to my notes, and one time I left them laying down, and I was in a missions conference, and one of the senior preachers that was there leading the conference saw my notes, and like a good nosy Baptist preacher, he looked at them. And he pulled me aside later and said, Brother Cook, he said, you're wearing yourself out. He goes, what do you mean? He says, you're a good speaker. You've got good notes. You get nervous, but you've got good material. He said, all this breathing, slow. I mean, I had all this marked and typed in my notes everywhere. Slow down, take a breath. I mean, trying to make sure that I slow down. He said, just be yourself. Don't worry about that. Just be yourself. The people you minister to, they'll learn to listen fast. Just preach. Get out of the comfort zone. You be who God created you. Don't worry about being somebody else. And boy, that was some 25 years ago. And even to this day, sometimes I still think I talk a little bit too fast. But that sense of pride, dear friends, let me remind you, don't allow, be cautious about your pride. Don't allow it to creep in. Avoid, again, your pride like you would a scorpion, a rattlesnake, or any other dangerous thing. And lastly, number 7, adjust your attitude and priorities. Determine not to conform or be controlled by this world. See, that's what happened to a lot of these men, what took place with Jesus. I know it was God's plan, but the bottom line was, after Peter drew his sword and the Lord rebuked him and healed that soldier, it seems like you don't hear from them anymore. You know, they're not there to fight. They're not there to defend. But where were they at when it was time to claim the body? Where were they when other things going on? I don't want to be critical. What I'm saying is some of those men may not have been there and they have some regrets. Nicodemus had some. Joseph had some. And they rose to the occasion. They went to Pilate. They begged, almost demand with much force for the body of Christ. And they got back to where they needed to be. Dear friends, have you gotten away from the Lord? You're fearful you're not where you should be in your Christian growth. Just adjust your attitude and your Christian priorities. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we all have made blunders, and we've all missed opportunities in life. Let's strive not to allow Satan to use those to keep us down, but to prepare to move forward as we look. Keep your conscience clear. Return to the place where you left the will of God for your life. Submit to the Word of God. Read it, reread it, and apply it to your life. Be alert to temptation and prepare on a daily basis to serve the Lord. Don't wallow in your defeat. Don't sing, woe is me. Just get back up and move on. Be cautious about your pride and adjust your attitude and your priorities. Dear friends, make the decision now that you will correct any blunders or missed opportunities of the past and just keep moving and going forward for the glory of God. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll take just a moment here in a word of prayer and a question and have a verse of invitation where you stand or here at an altar, wherever you feel that God would have you to pray. But if you need to do business with the Lord this morning, why not that make that decision right now? Maybe this morning, I don't need to know the circumstance. There's no one looking, just me and the Holy Spirit. You just were the simple, raise your hand and back down. I won't go to you. Just simply say, preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart today about some things. Yes, I see those hands. Other hands going, amen. I appreciate your honesty. And now let's do something about it. Just could give them to the Lord. Where you stand or here at an altar, you take time and talk to the Lord. Let me say one more thing before we pray. Tonight, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper. I'll be going over some things about the Lord's Supper. But dear friends, let me encourage you. If you have aught with a brother or sister in Christ, you need to make that right before tonight. If you have some sin in your life, maybe that you need to straighten out, you need to talk to the Lord and put it behind you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You do not want to partake at the Lord's table with known sin in your life. And it's so easy to deal with. Just go to the Father and make it right. Go to the brother, go to the sister, and make it right. Because, dear friend, the Lord's Supper might be about remembrance, and it is, but it also can be about repentance and revival. Father, you saw the hands, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Help us, Lord, to have the courage, though we've made mistakes and blunders of the past. Help us to be like Joseph and Nicodemus, to take in that pride, taking that stand with boldness and the desire of serving the Lord, Father. Help us to be willing to beg, to plead, or whatever it is, to say, Lord, help me in my service for you. Now, Father, bless this invitation. May you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. The piano is playing, and if you need to deal with the Lord right now, right where you stand, here at the altar.